Christ on this beautiful fall morning to celebrate who Christ is and what he has done for us. Let us celebrate him and worship this morning.
God's people said,
amen.
Thank you, Bert, and thank you, Mark, for our prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us for worship on this fourth Sunday in October. May the Spirit move in this place today as we celebrate God's power, God's grace, and mercy in worship this morning. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. I encourage you to fill out a visitor's card there in your pew this morning. You can drop that off in the offering plate as you leave later on after the worship service is over. For those that are watching us this morning on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. If you are a first-time worshiper with us online, I encourage you to send me an email this week and let's connect and share about who First Baptist Elon is and how you came to watch us online this morning. Also, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin for today. Use that as a resource for our time of worship this morning. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary today, I encourage you to use the bulletin this morning as a resource, not just for our worship hour, but also for the ministries coming up in the life of our church. I do want to point out some of those things that you will see in your bulletin this morning. Reminder, I apologize, reminder that this afternoon we continue our worship at Blakey Hall. This is our Sunday that we go and worship at on the second floor there in their main building. We'll be going at 1:30 p.m. Gay and I will be going, Bert will be going, and you are invited to come and worship with us this afternoon if you would like to. It's a wonderful time of worship with the residents there at Blakey Hall. That'll be at 1:30 this afternoon. Also, a reminder about tonight at 5 p.m., we'll be wrapping up our study on the Gospel of Mark. That'll be upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. Also, our youth will be meeting tonight at 5 p.m. as well for Youth Intensity. Now, a reminder to our ministry teams, I do want to remind you that our November newsletter is coming out soon. We will be working on that this week. Janice will be putting that together this week, so I encourage you, if you have an item to be placed in the November newsletter, please send that to her today or tomorrow by email. She'll be working on that early this week. And as many of you know, she will be having surgery toward the end of this month. So be in prayer for Janice, our administrative assistant. She does a lot of work for us, and she'll be out for about 2 weeks following that surgery. So be in prayer for her. Anything that you can get to her in advance over the next week, please do so she'll have that and be able to work on those things. It was a busy ministry week this week as you look at our calendar. First off, we're reminded our team, Hope, we'll be having a meeting on Monday night at 6:30 p.m. as we kind of celebrate again how our homecoming celebration went 2 weeks ago. Also talking about some additional things that will be taking place as we finish up our celebration of 75 years of ministry throughout the rest of this year. Our seniors will be taking their fun and fellowship trip to Millstone Creek Orchard on Tuesday. Many of you have signed up for this trip. Y'all's meeting here at 10:30, right? So meeting here at 10:30 a.m. Reminder, you will meet downstairs, the lower parking lot, for that trip. The bus will be parked downstairs as well. I know you'll have a great trip going to the orchard and then enjoying a lunch afterwards. Choir, reminder, our practice is at 6:30 on Wednesday. And then Brunswick Stew is coming up on Saturday. I'll talk a little bit more in detail about that later on in the worship service. We have lots of missions in gatherings going on. You've heard me talk about these before. We have a lot of toiletry items and paper products that have come in for the residential treatment services of Alamance. Thank you for your donations. I mean, they're overflowing in the Communication Center, and that is a great problem to have. But if you haven't picked up items, make sure you pick them up either today or by next Sunday, because we'll be delivering those items by the end of the month. We're also continuing to collect items for the Elon Police Department, winter scarves, winter hats, also blankets for the police department. They came by and picked up those items that we had already collected this week, but we'll be collecting those items through this Friday. So if you're out this week at a store anywhere and you want to pick up some of those items, please just drop them off by the church and we'll make sure the Elon Police Department gets those. Also, the college team wanted me to remind the church family that we will be celebrating Reading Day with the Elon Cheer Squad again this year. And we're going to be collecting items for the Cheer Squad starting this coming Sunday through November 22nd. We'll have some specific items that we're collecting for that group in the next week. You'll also see it in your November newsletter. Specific items they'll need to pack those goodie bags, for the Elon Cheer Squad. Next Sunday will be a special day in the life of our church. It is as we draw closer to All Saints Day, which is November 1st. Each year we celebrate and we remember those in our church family who have passed away over the past year. So I encourage you to come out next Sunday morning as we remember those who passed away in our church family. Also as a time of gathering around the table for communion. It will be a Sunday of remembering. So come out next Sunday for a time of celebration, a time of remembering, and a time of recalling who Christ is and what he did for us. Next Sunday will be a special Sunday for our church family. Please come out and celebrate with us. This morning we lift praise to our awesome God, so let's sing praise to him this morning.
Well, it's good to stand here. So hopefully next week I won't have this, and it'll just be me. So let's stand and let's sing Awesome God and Great and Mighty is He. Let's worship together.
Before we turn to our opening scripture reading this morning, as many of you know, we had a wonderful time of breakfast around the table this morning, and I want to thank our deacons for our wonderful Meet Your Deacon breakfast this time, a wonderful morning of gathering around the table fellowship. As many of you know, I've been struggling with a migraine this morning. This week has been a rough day. I'm not going to be honest with you. This week has been a rough week with migraines. I had a chance to go see my doctor, and he said, pretty much anybody who has migraines, the change in the weather, the change in the pressure has been a rough week. It's been a rough week, as is. But this morning, it's been no different. And sometimes you just need a pick-me-up. Sometimes in the on a Sunday morning or something, you just need something to just kind of brighten your day. So I was sitting in my office this morning prior to worship service and just trying to get my mind situated and ready for the worship service. And a smiling face just turned around the corner. And a gentleman that I call a friend, a dear friend for many, many, many years, just smiled around his face, and I said, "How in the world are you here? Aren't you supposed to be at your church this morning?" And I want to introduce you to somebody who's no stranger to our church family, Dr. Powell Dew, sitting back here with his lovely wife, Sharon. I have known Powell for many years. We went to Campbell together, went to Divinity School together. We've been in a peer learning group for decades now, and I've called him a dear friend. He is the senior pastor at Spillman Memorial Baptist Church. And he just surprised me this morning by showing up for worship this day. He's going on vacation with his wife up to the mountains. We pray for a wonderful week of respite and recovery. But I'm thankful that you just popped around the corner, pal. It just brightened my day. And also thankful because if I can't make it, I'm just going to pass my sermon on to pal. He is a wonderful orator, and he will come up and preach the sermon as well. So anyway, it's good to have you with us, brother. Thank you for being here with us this day. And I pray for your church family this morning as well. But as we turn to our opening scripture passage this morning, reading from Psalm 99, listen to these words. "The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God. Though you punished their misdeeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy." The Lord our God is holy. That's why we gathered in this place today. Let us worship him. And let us go to him in prayer this morning. Awesome and majestic God, your creative power, your glory and holiness were experienced by your people of old. As clouds and fire guiding them to freedom, they believed that no one could see your face and live. How blessed, therefore, are we, for you have revealed your face to us in Jesus Christ, the human face of your love. You also equip us for our journey through life and beyond by breathing new and everlasting life into our very beings through the gift of the Holy Spirit. These people of old believed that it was your presence with them which made them a chosen and special people. We praise and adore you, O God, for making our lives so special by choosing to share your life with us in and through Jesus. May this time of worship and the service of our lives reveal our thanksgiving and our wonder that you should so care for us this day. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Come Thou Almighty King. Let's stand and sing together.
Heard me mention earlier, this Saturday we will once again gather around the stew pots for our annual Missions Brunswick stew. This annual event helps raise mission funds that are used throughout the year to support our mission efforts locally, statewide, and across this world. To make this day a success, however, we need lots of help and lots of hands ready and willing to serve. This all begins on Thursday when the supplies are delivered for the Brunswick stew. We have been told they will be arriving between noon and 1 p.m. on Thursday. And so I know many of you have already signed up to help pre-cook the meat. So just letting you know, come after 1 o'clock on Thursday. You can come by the fellowship hall and pick up that meat to cook in advance. It will be located in the refrigerator. And Kramer, I'm correct, there will be a sign-up sheet for people to write their names down when they pick them up, right? We are still in need of a few extra cooks, too, if I'm not mistaken. So if you haven't signed up and you want to, there are sign-up sheets in the Communication Center and upstairs in the Fellowship Hall, or you can let Kramer Hughes know, and he will make sure you mark your name down for that. So that's when it all starts. The prep stuff starts on Thursday, but then on Saturday morning will be the big event. The stew preparation will start. You'll notice in your bulletin it tells you kind of the schedule. That's kind of a floating schedule because we're never real sure how fast the stew is going to cook. Sometimes we get done a little bit earlier. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. But at 6 a.m., a group will gather to start preparing the stew. You can be a part of that group. Anybody can be a part of that group. The more hands, the better. There's never too few hands for this process. The dipping portion of that process, when the stew actually goes in the quarts that will be filled up, will start around 10 a.m. finally, stew will start to be sold around noon and will be continued around 5 p.m. Now, the cost for the stew is $9 a quart, and I am pretty sure, because I've seen lots of stew already being sold, this is the cheapest in the county. Mm-hmm. I have not seen it that cheap anywhere else. So you're getting a deal, $9 a quart, and you can spread the word to your neighbors, your family, your friends, anybody to let them know we are selling Brunswick stew. Now, if you want to pre-order, I have been told that you can tell Kramer in advance, and he'll jot your name down. But again, we will sell that day of as well. It's a day full of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's great food, and it's a great cause, supporting missions for this entire next year here at First Baptist. So come be a part of it, be a part of this process, and be a part of missions here at First Baptist Elon. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Barry Carroll for our offertory prayer.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, when we come to you in this place of worship, we think of how blessed we are. Lord, I pray for those that are in Israel, Palestine, Gaza, who are suffering. I pray that you would help. I pray that you would help our Congress, that they would make the right decisions. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as members of this church as we give our tithe to support the church and the missions that we support. That you would help us, Lord, to be people of your will. Lord, the choir's going to sing Jesus Saves. And that's what it's all about. That we somehow find a way to help people to find you as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
music today. Let's once again go to the Lord in prayer before we encounter His Word this morning. Loving, living God, be among us now. Show us Your ways, guide our steps, live in us that we may be people of steadfast hope and powerful going. Help us hear Your words, challenging us to give You all the things that are Yours. Help us remember that all we are and all we have are gifts from You, gifts to be shared in service and love. Holy One among us, help us to be a holy people who receive Your word with joy and live Your message with love, not just on Sunday, but every day that You bless us with. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, let me say good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship on this fall Sunday morning. There was a young man who showed up for church on Easter Sunday morning, and as he was leaving worship that day, he shook hands with the pastor at the back door. The pastor said to this young man, "Son, it was good to have you with us here this morning, but you need to join the army of the Lord." The young man replied, "Well, Pastor, I'm already in the army of the Lord." Surprised, the pastor said back, "Then why do you show up only on Christmas and Easter?" The young man quickly said, "Because I'm in the Secret Service." And he walked off. God is not looking for people who will be secret believers. Someone said there is no such thing as a secret believer. Either the secret will destroy the belief, or the belief will destroy the secret. Last week I preached that at our congregation, as we move into the next 75 years of ministry, need to be the good shepherd's sheep. And we talked about the reasons why we want to be those sheep. Well, what does it mean to be a sheep? Now that we choose to be the sheep, what does it mean to be that individual? What does it mean to be that believer? What do we have to do in order to be that sheep? This morning, Paul is going to give us the answers in his words that he wrote in his first letter to the believers at Thessalonica. In this letter, Paul commended this young church, very young church, in fact, for being a model, not just to those who did not believe in Christ, but more specifically to those who already believed. And today, I want to talk about what it means to live the life of a model for others. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. The words will also be displayed on the screen behind me this morning as well. And I want you to listen to these words. And as you do, if you don't recall, maybe you do. Some of you I know definitely do. I actually taught 1 and 2 Thessalonians this summer on our online Bible study. So some of you might recall the lessons that come from this opening chapter. Reading 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 10. "To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In Acts chapter 16, and in the whole book of Acts, which is the history book of the early Christian church, we are told that Paul visited Philippi. The significance of this visit in Acts chapter 16 is that this was the first European city that Paul traveled to when he began preaching. Prior to, he had only been preaching in Asia Minor. So Philippi was that next step in his missionary journey. While there, Paul and Silas were arrested. They were beaten, but God delivered them from jail in the middle of the night. If you remember the story, this is where the Roman soldier asked Paul, what must he do to be saved? And they basically said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and he will save you. And he was saved, and not only was he saved, but his entire family, his entire household was saved. Well, from there, from Philippi, Paul and Silas traveled to Thessalonica, which is where this letter is addressed to, and it was his second European city where they preached. Now, Paul preached there for only about 3 weeks, but while there, many of the prominent Jewish and Gentiles became believers from his preaching. However, not all did. There were a group of prominent Jewish individuals who opposed Paul. And they whipped up a mob and a riot to incite a riot against Paul, saying basically that Paul was being a heretic of the Jewish faith. They accused Paul of basically turning the world upside down. That was their words. Paul was turning the world upside down. What an amazing accusation. Don't you want someone to say to you one day, you're turning the world upside down? Because that's what Paul was doing. Paul was turning the world upside down for Christ. Or some might say he was turning the world right side up, because that's the way the world is supposed to be as far as Christ. Anyway, Paul and Silas left. He later sent Timothy back to encourage this young church. And that's when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians. This is a young church. They already have a great reputation among the churches in Asia Minor and Europe. They were model believers. And Paul is espousing this in the opening words of his letter in 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote this: you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith has become known everywhere. What a powerful testimony. Your faith has become known everywhere. Isn't that something you want to have written on your tombstone someday? Your faith has become known everywhere. The word model here comes from the Greek word tupos, T-U-P-O-S. And that's where we get our English word type. So another way to ask the question that we have to ask today for ourselves would be this: what type of Christian are you? What type of Christian are we called to be? Of course, our primary role model in life is to be like Jesus Christ. He is who we're supposed to model our lives after. But our lives should serve as a model to others. Now, oftentimes, we as Christians think we're supposed to model our Christian life to non-believers. And yes, we are supposed to do that. But sometimes we as Christians forget that we also are called to model our lives for fellow Christians. Because you and I both know, because we are guilty of this, sometimes as fellow believers, we kind of go the wrong way. We fall off the track. We start sliding back a little bit. So today, Paul is telling us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 how we are to be a life of a model. We're supposed to model who Christ is for other non-believers and other believers. So let's identify four different ways that we, as sheep of the Good Shepherd, should model that Christian life to others. The very first thing that we must model is the spirit of hospitality. Now, Paul wrote in verse 6, "You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." Now, then in verse 9, he wrote later, "They report what kind of reception that you gave us." The believers there not only welcomed the message of God, they welcomed the messenger of God. They demonstrated hospitality to Paul and his companions when they arrived. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were travelers, and yet the people in Thessalonica welcomed them into their homes like they were their family. That's hospitality. They welcomed them into their hearts. Hospitality is one of the most powerful Christian virtues that we can share and model to others. In Romans 12, we are told directly, simple statement, practice hospitality. So I ask you this morning, who are the people that you practice hospitality to? Who are the people that you invite to your table? Is it just your family? Is it just your close-knit group of friends? When you stayed for lunch 2 weeks ago on Homecoming Sunday, did you sit with the people that you normally sit with? Or was there somebody else? Did you sit with somebody different? If it's the same, I'm going to be quite honest with you, that's not really hospitality. That's Christian fellowship, which is important. Christian fellowship is important, but it's not hospitality. What is hospitality? The word hospitality in the New Testament has a very clear meaning. It is a combination of two words, the word which we know is brotherly love, philo, and the word xenos, which means stranger. So hospitality literally means love demonstrated to strangers. Do you share the love of God to strangers? A stranger does not have to be someone you do not know completely. It could be someone that maybe you do not know well. Someone you do not know, maybe want to say intimately. There are individuals in this sanctuary right now that you have sat in this sanctuary probably for decades that you do not know intimately. Am I right? If you disagree with me, we'll talk later after the service. But there are people in here you do not know well. And so my challenge to you this week is this. Over the next couple weeks, those faces that you smile at and you say, "Hello, good morning, how are you doing?" And you don't know anything more than that. You may know their name. Some of you don't even know their name. I want you to get to know them. Show hospitality. So take a minute right now, in the middle of my sermon. I'm not going to talk. That's a miracle. Look around. Take a good look around. Don't look at the people you normally look at. Look at the people that you don't normally look at. Look at the people you don't sit around when we have a fellowship meal. Identify those people. That's the person or persons that you need to show hospitality to over the next couple weeks. You'll be amazed at what difference that can make. But it's also to individuals we don't know at all. To strangers, because we need to reach out to those we do not know. By the way, hospitality does not have to happen in your home. Anytime you show kindness or love to a stranger, you are fulfilling this word. And it is a good thing to be nice to strangers. In Hebrews 13:2, the Bible says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Can you imagine being in heaven and an angel comes up to you and says, "Do you remember that time you stopped and helped me in the grocery store when I dropped my groceries on the floor? That was me. Or do you remember that time you sat with me in the fellowship hall at church on homecoming Sunday when I was all alone? That was really me, an angel. That's hospitality. Second, we must model repentance for the wrong way of living. Paul wrote that there were models because they tell of how you turn to God from idols. Now, this second model that we have to do, this repentance that we're called to do, you'll notice that the order of statements in the scripture is a little bit different. It is important to note Paul did not say that they turned from idols to God. It says they turned to God from idols. Now, this may not seem significant to you, but I think it really is. You see, Thessalonica was a Roman city. So the residents practiced the worship of idols like Apollo, Venus, and the entire pantheon of gods and goddesses. So when Paul preached, we do not have any record that he yelled at these Thessalonians and said, "You need to turn away from idols. You need to turn away from idol worship." He simply preached that Jesus was the Messiah, and he called on them to turn to God. And in turning to God, they were automatically turning from their idols. This is repentance. To me, this is important because some people insist that salvation is a two-step process. Now, follow me here for a second. Some people insist salvation involves first that you have to turn away from your sins, and only then you can place your faith in Jesus. You might think, well, that sounds about right. In other words, you have to get rid of your addictions, you have to get rid of the gossip, you have to get rid of your lying, and when you get rid of all of that, when you've cleaned up your life, then you're ready to come to Christ. That's not the way it works. That's not what the Bible teaches. Faith is one step with two consequences. When a person turns to God, they are turning from their sinful past. Let's look at it this way. This is the way I taught it one Sunday morning for our children's sermon. Everyone take your hand and hold it up in front of you, right? Palm facing you, okay? Now, as you are facing your palm, I want you to slowly turn it so you're facing the back side of your hand. Simple process, right? That isn't a two separate actions. It was only one. You were facing your palm, and then you simply turned it to face the back. When we are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, we have the sinful action that is in front of us, but all we are doing is turning to follow Christ. And when we turn to follow Christ, all of a sudden, we're turning away from our sinful actions. It's one step. It's not two steps. I didn't say, go ahead, now you got to do, turn away from your back, turn away your front. It's not two steps. It's the same step. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when I decide to follow Christ, the sinful lifestyle that I lived in before, all of a sudden, I'm turning my back on. It's one step. And you might be saying, well, the Thessalonians were worshiping idols, so they just had to drop that. They needed to get that out of their system. We don't have that problem anymore. We don't have statues in our lives that we worship anymore. But our idols these days may not be statues, but there certainly are some man-made idols that we like to focus on rather than focusing in on God. Maybe it's desire. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's some celebrity we want to follow. Maybe it's power. Repentance isn't just a one-time action. The command to repent in the Bible is most often spoke to churches and believers more so than any other lesson in the Bible. As God reveals more and more truth to us, we must continue to change our mind about truth and bring our beliefs in line with God's work. The past few weeks have been devastating for our world. As increasing tensions mount in Israel, rising angst in our own government, and not to mention more shootings taking place across our nation and even our own state, whenever events like this happen, people start asking the question, why did these things happen? Why did God allow these things to happen? There are no easy answers, but there is one big truth. We live in a fallen, sinful world. We live in a fallen world. Romans 8:22 tells us that this creation, God's creation, is groaning to be redeemed. The world has always had to deal with pain and war and evil ever since the fall in the garden. Instead of blaming God or thinking that these people deserve their pain, maybe, just maybe, we should change our thinking and repent. Live out and model this repentance. We struggle with the question of why do bad things happen to good people? The Bible reminds us that there is none good except God. So why aren't we turning to Him? Maybe we focus on the goodness of God and repent. The third thing that we must model is the obedience to God. Paul wrote, "You serve the living and true God." He was contrasting God with their idols. Idols were dead and false. God is living and true. Our motivation for obedience is love. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." God wants us to obey Him. Remember the story of Moses? Moses led the Israelites all the way out of Egypt, all the way to the edge of the promised land, but Moses was not allowed to lead them into the promised land. We oftentimes think he got a raw deal, but why did God not allow Moses to enter the promised land? He refused to obey God. The people were thirsty. They were complaining about it. God told Moses to speak to a rock so water would come out, but Moses was frustrated. And in the frustration, Moses struck a rock. He struck it two times, actually, like he had done previously, earlier, to get water to come out. And water came gushing out. But God told Moses, "Because you did not trust me enough and obey my commands, you will not lead the people into the promised land." And we think to ourselves, well, I mean, look at all that he did. He brought them all the way to this point. Why could God not allow Moses to enter just because he didn't obey just this little one time? We fail to forget what the first big battle for the Israelites were when they entered the promised land. It was to overcome this powerful city of Jericho. And to overcome this powerful city, God needed someone who was going to follow every step of the command to do that. And he realized that Moses was not that person. Moses did not obey in this simple act, and he needed somebody who would be able to do that. And so who did he trust? He trusted Joshua, whose obedience to God led the people to overthrow Jericho. The simple lesson is this. In our walk with God, there are times when He guides us into deeper and deeper truth. And at each point, we must obey Him. When we stop obeying and serving Him, that's when we forfeit the very best He has in store for us. All of us read God's Word, I hope we do, on a daily basis or a weekly basis. But do we obey it? James 1 tells us not to merely read it, but to obey it. Allow it to be a mirror for us. When you look into a mirror, you are about to evaluate yourself to see if anything needs to be fixed or changed. There are two ways to look into a mirror, actually. You can glance quickly by it. You can walk by a mirror. You can glance And you can keep walking, or you can gaze deeply into that mirror. Anybody remember the old show, Happy Days? Now, I'll be honest, this is a little bit before my time. But I've saw some episodes. I know you're all like, oh, he's so young. I've saw Happy Days. Remember that crazy character, the Fonz, played by actor Henry Winkler? He was the essence of cool. But remember what he did every time he passed a mirror? What did he do? He stopped, glanced into a mirror, pulled out that comb, ran it through his hair, he said, hey. And then he kept on walking. He didn't have to think about what he was looking at because he knew he was the essence of perfection. It just took a glance. He didn't stop very long. That is not the way to study the Bible, by the way. We just don't take a glance at the word and say, hey, I got it. Done for the week. We have to gaze into it. We have to absorb it. We have to put it down. We have to think about it. And then we have to look back at it again and make sure we get what God is trying to say to us. And then we put it back down again and we pray about it and we read and write about it. And then we look back at it again and then we put it back down and we gaze. It's a mirror. It's something that we have to constantly be looking at and to growing. And then when we do that, all of a sudden we start obeying His word deeper and more passionately. We start becoming closer to Him. We start obeying Him more. And the more we do that, all of a sudden others start seeing us do that. And they start saying, hey, there's just something different. There's something different about Him. When you play the game Follow the Leader, the closer that you are to the leader, the easier it is to imitate that person. It's the same thing with Christ. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you can model obedience to God. Finally, last but not least, we must model hope as we look for the return of Christ. Paul wrote that the believers in Thessalonica were good models as you wait for His Son from heaven. The early believers expected Jesus to return in their time, at any time. They did not sell their goods and they did not quit their jobs and they didn't go stand on a mountain because thinking that Jesus was coming right now and staring up at the sky. They continued to live their lives, but they lived with a sense of excited expectation that their Savior will return soon. You know, while we are citizens of the United States, as followers of Jesus, we hold dual citizenship. In Philippians, Paul wrote, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. While the world continues to struggle, as citizens of heaven, we can live with the hope that Christ will come again. There is hope in the future. It may not look like it right now. It may not seem like it right now, but there is hope. This is probably, as Christian believers, our most valuable commodity. It cannot be bought. Hope cannot be bought. It is a gift from God that we take in and we hold on to and that we can always turn to when the things are darkest in our lives, when things may be crumbling around us. We get that awful diagnosis from the doctor, when we're going through difficult financial times, when we lose that loved one in our lives, when things seem to be awful, the one thing that we can hold on to is that gift from God, which is hope. Our hope can be condensed into one word, one name. It's Jesus. We're looking forward for that glorious hope and the appearing of our Savior. And until that day, we keep modeling hospitality, repentance, and obedience for others to see, all rooted in the hope that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this morning, First Baptist Elon, I ask you, are you ready to be model sheep for others to see? Oftentimes we want to hide behind others or to get lost in the pack and just to settle in. But we live in a world today that needs these model sheep to stand out and to stand strong for Him. I challenge you today to be that model sheep for your family, to be that model sheep for your friends, for your co-workers, and the strangers that are around you. May they see and be recipients of that hospitality. May they know and understand the repentance that you have found in Christ Jesus. May your obedience to Him grow strong in this fallen world. And most importantly, may they know where your hope lies in a Savior who has everything under control. Let us pray. What a powerful model that young church in Thessalonica continues to be for Christian believers today. May we take their model of hospitality. May we take their model of repentance and obedience and hope and live that life out individually as we share that with the world, with those around us. May we as a congregation share those with those around us. May we be a model, a beacon of light in our community, in our families' lives, in our friends' lives, and for anybody who walks past, drives past, hears about our ministry here at First Baptist, because we're in a world that needs it. May we stand up and stand strong and be the sheep that Christ wants us to be. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe today for the very first time you recognize the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Maybe today for the first time you recognize Him as your Lord and Savior. I'll be down front if you want to make that decision today. It's a decision that you don't want to put off. It's a decision to make today, because He has died for you and He's ready to wrap His arms around you. Maybe today you've been struggling with something. Maybe you've wandered off the path a little bit and you've seen through the model of those around you, those in this church body who has modeled those lives that were seen in Thessalonica. Maybe you've seen it and maybe you're ready to turn your life back to Him. I'll be down front to pray with you as well. Or maybe you're just looking for a church family who seeks to model these Christian values to those around you. First Baptist can be that home. Come be a part of our family. Whatever you need. If it's prayer, I'll be down front. The altar's open. It's not my altar. It's His altar. Whatever you need, don't put it off today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. To go today, go and be the sheep for Christ that He wants you to be, and model those values, model that hospitality, that repentance, model that hope and that love that He desires for you wherever you go, because the world needs to see it. Go in peace and know that He goes with you. Goodbye.